Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Numbers 13, today we do have the privilege of getting to share God's word together, which is a lot of fun, as you can see. And I really feel like the Lord put a message on our heart for our church. And starting in verse 26, Don Cherie is going to read it. But let's all read together. And I believe this is a prophetic word for us. And this is going to be a strong anthem that we get in our hearts. So Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, Don Cherie, why don't you read?
It says this: they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: we went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the people who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they had spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them."
I love that scripture. And today, using this as a foundational text, we want to preach a simple message to you, simply titled, "We Can Do This." Come on, we can do this. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, "We can do this"?
We can do this.
Look at the other neighbor, the one you don't like as much, and say, "We can do this." We can do this. And we're going to pray today. Today we are celebrating as a church, but I think it would be remiss of us if we didn't take some time to remember that there's some people in Houston, Texas right now today that are going through a devastating time. Many of you have asked how we can help and how you can be a part of making a difference in Houston. Want to let you know that your church, on behalf of you, on Monday morning earlier this week, we sent $10,000 to Houston, Texas, to Hope City Church, to be resource on the ground. And at VU Church, we don't do a whole lot of additional or special offerings. We just budget and prepare and make sure that there's money in certain areas for things like relief when people are going through disasters. And so just want to let you know that on behalf of you, we were able to be generous this week. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving the way that you do. But even right now, as we pray for this word, let's let our hearts go towards Houston and those that are in a challenging time. Today we celebrate, but over there, many of them are mourning. Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you're doing today. God, we know that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, we pray that you'd move today in a mighty way. God, speak to us in a crystal clear way. Lord, right now we stop and we pause. And Lord, we pray for Houston. We pray for everybody in Texas and Louisiana. Lord, those that have lost their homes. Lord, those that have lost loved ones. We pray that you'd comfort them right now, that they would know that you're not just the God of the mountaintop, but you're also the God of the valley. You're the God in the storm with them, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Let this be an opportunity for the church to rise up and be resource, be hands and feet of Jesus to people in real need. God, we're believing that you're going to bring good out of this terrible thing. We put all of our trust in you today. We honor you. We praise you. And if you believe it, all of God's people said,
amen.
Come on, all of God's people said,
amen.
Come on, 1 p.m. service. If you love Jesus, make some noise. It's hard to believe, honestly, for me today that we are celebrating 2 years as a church, because those of you that have been on this journey, you know that we have come a long way. This church started in my apartment with about 12 or 14 of us. We didn't have a big program. We didn't have really cool worship service or really cool lights or a lot of team. There was like 12 or 14 of us. We were eating Olive Garden, and we were just talking about a church that we could hope to one day see. And isn't it just like God, who does exceedingly immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine? Within 2 years, now we're in 6 services and over 3,000 people showing up every Sunday. Come on, can somebody give God praise today? In our home, when it's someone's birthday, it's a big deal to us. We always take time to honor that person. In August, Dawn Sheree celebrated her 33rd birthday. And so I threw her a Louisiana hoedown birthday party. I made everyone wear flannel shirts. And all we did was play country music. You don't even know about country music here in Miami. And then I flew in, if you can believe this, crawfish. And we threw a crawfish boil for her 33rd birthday. It was like something, it was a redneck party, okay? And somewhere in that party, she loves it. We stopped the music, we paused, and we honored Dawn Sheree. We affirmed her life, we encouraged her. And really, we spoke to her future. It's sort of just always been a tradition that we have in our home, and I love seeing so many people in our community, the VU Church community, take up that tradition. But one of the things that Dawn Sheree and I've always found us doing, maybe not so much by design, but maybe just by default, we always find ourselves around our birthdays doing an evaluation. You know what I mean by evaluating, right? Evaluation means you take an inventory of where you are at today, but you also look back on where you came from, but then you look ahead to where it is that you're going. Now, here's what I've learned about evaluation. Evaluation is pointless if you can't see properly. Right. See, here's the truth. Often your outlook will determine your outcome. Many of us, we don't like the outcome of our life, but I bet if you went back to the outlook of your life, you would find there's something wrong with it. What type of outlook do you have? Do you have a positive outlook that you're believing for the best? Or do you find yourself having a negative outlook that you're always believing the worst thing is going to happen? You see, as you begin to evaluate your life, if you're not seeing properly, and if you have a negative outlook, what you'll tend to do is you'll highlight everything that's bad, and you'll highlight everything that's missing. However, I submit to you today, if you'll take on a positive outlook, you can begin to magnify the things that are going good, and you can begin to celebrate what God might just do in the gaps. Is there anybody out there who's believing that the best is still in front of us as a church? My outlook determines my outcome. So if I don't like my outcome, I ought to check my outlook. I find it amazing in Numbers chapter 13, you find this cool story of an evaluation process. Let me put the text into context. The Israelites have come out of slavery out of Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness, and God has led them to what is going to be the promised land. It's known as Canaan. Moses is the leader at the time, and Moses sends 12 spies into Canaan, and he has them grab a report for him. Now, what I love in Numbers chapter 13 is as you read Moses is a good leader. Moses asked them like 20-some questions. He's like, find this out, find that out, find this out. What you'll find out in life is that typically, whenever there's something great that you are observing or witnessing, it's typically because someone behind it is into the details. How many know that excellence is always found in the details? We serve a God who's into details. There's no snowflake that's alike. There's no blade of grass that's alike. Nobody's thumbprint is the exact same thing. Why? Because God is a detailed God. Aren't you thankful that you go to a church that cares about the details, that when you walked in today, there was people in the parking lot that were greeting you. There was people with signs that were welcoming you. Why? Because our church cares about the little tiny details. The Bible says these 12 spies, they go into the land. When they go into the land, they all come back with the same report saying that the land is good. The land is flowing with milk and honey. Yet then something distinct happens. 10 out of the 12 spies, they start to go negative with the report. And what they say is they say, yes, it's true. The land is flowing with milk and honey, but the land is full of giants. And there's no way that we can attack those people because those people are bigger than us and they will certainly devour us. I want you to see this. The majority of people will always take a negative approach in life. Meaning, if you're going to choose a positive outlook, you better get used to going against the majority. It's going to be the minority who sees the best in every situation. It's always easier to live in defeat than it is to live in victory. However, out of these 12 spies, how many know that we don't know the 10 spies' names? The only names that we know are the two guys by the name of Caleb and Joshua, because instead of bringing a negative report, they had a positive report. How many of you know it's easy to forget the negative people in your life, but the people you can't seem to forget are the people that go against the flow, that say, I see a bright future. I see something good happening. I want to surround myself with people that have a positive outlook. Look at what Caleb and Joshua say. They say this in Numbers chapter 13. This is beautiful. Verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I just love his bold, audacious confession. It's not that he's not aware of the giants. It's just that he's more certain in the God that he serves than the things that are in front of him. Come on, I just believe this is a prophetic word for our church. Yes, Miami is a difficult city to plant a church in, but I declare today, we can do this thing. Yes, property value in Miami is extreme and it's high, and I have no idea how we're gonna buy a building one day, but I declare to you together, we can do this thing. Yes, our city is divided. Yes, racism is real. Yes, there are injustices on every corner. But I'm believing that the power of Jesus Christ can unite us together. And together, we can do this. Come on, does anybody believe we can do this thing? I think our best days are in front of us. I'm aware we're in six services. I'm aware there's giants in the lands. I'm aware that there's obstacles. But I'm believing to have a positive outlook. And with a positive outlook is going to come a positive outcome. We can do this. Come on, if you believe it, somebody give God a shout of praise. We can do this thing. We can do this. And what I've learned is this, is that in order to be able to declare we can do this, you're gonna have to be a person that speaks correctly. But listen, you'll never speak correctly until you can see things correctly. If you can't see right, you'll never speak right. And really today, out of this text, don't you know, we just wanna take a moment and we just wanna show you just three different areas that you've gotta see the right way as we go into this new season as a church. And the first, don't you, is how you see yourself. How you see yourself matters.
Yeah, how you see yourself is gonna dictate your ability to walk into the promise of God.
Come on.
There's a promise for your life. There's a promise that doesn't look like your neighbor's promise. It doesn't look like your parents' promise. Jeez. It was created specifically for you. And the truth is, when we read this verse, and Moses asks for the report from the spies, they come back and they don't just expose what they found in the land, they expose how they see themselves. Mm. They paint the picture that, yes, you're right, it's flowing with milk and honey. But then they say this, but we are like grasshoppers. Wow. In our own eyes. They expose the way that they see themselves, and the way they see themselves dictates the way they perceive the promise of God that is in front of them.
Come on.
And you know, maybe today you would say, Don Sheree, I am broken in my own eyes. Don Sheree, I'm so far behind where I should be in my own eyes. I am so confused and torn. I don't know which route to take. I'm at a crossroads in life, but I can't figure it out in my own eyes. I don't know how to fix this situation. I don't have what it takes to step into the path of my dreams that's in front of me. Everything you're saying is what you see in your own eyes.
Jeez.
And let me tell you, what you see matters, because as a woman thinks in her heart, so she is.
Wow.
As a man thinks in his heart,
it's great.
So is he. The way that you see yourself will dictate your ability, the word of God tells us, to walk into what God has prepared for your life. Researchers tell us this. Yeah, you can put your hands together. I like when we clap together. It's awesome. But researchers tell us this, that 90% of your thoughts today, you thought yesterday. And somewhere out of those 65,000 thoughts that you are thinking today, you're creating an image of who you are. You're listening to yourself, right? Far more important than what my husband says, what my peers say, what my boss says, is the person I talk to the most, and that's myself.
Yeah.
You're listening to yourself. You're coming to conclusions about yourself. Your emotions, you're listening. Your feelings, you're listening. Your rage, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your frustration, your depression, you're listening, you're listening, you're listening. But God hasn't called you simply to listen to yourself. Hear me, talk to yourself. Don't just listen to yourself. Begin to declare the promises of God. Begin to speak His word over your life, over your home, over your situation. Begin to walk into who He's called you to be. It starts with you seeing yourself the way that God sees you. You say, Dawn Shree, what does that mean to see myself the way that God sees me? How would I ever know the way that God sees me? I'll tell you. You open up that Bible next to your bed. Go grab it off that bookshelf and you start opening up the pages of the Word of God. Yeah. Because God is not nonchalant with the way that He views you. God is so intentional with the way that He views your life. He speaks His promises over you again and again and again and again. And it doesn't matter how many times you read them, it breathes new life. It breathes new depth to your relationship and your understanding of who you are in Christ. You want to see yourself the way God sees you? Go to His word, because He says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you see it today? He says that you're forgiven. So maybe today you look at yourself and all you see is shame and guilt. All you see are all the mistakes around you, years and years of wasting time. But God doesn't see you that way. When He looks at you, He sees you spotless. He sees you forgiven. He sees the path that He's created for you. Will you see it? Will you see yourself the way He sees you? 2 Corinthians declares that you're an ambassador of Christ. So you, at your job, in your marriage, in your family, you represent Jesus to others. God chose you. Yeah, He knows all about you and He chose you. Do you see it yourself? God wants you to understand and see today that He's put powerful weapons in your life, that you have the weapon of power, of love, and of a sound mind, that you don't have to see yourself with the spirit of fear any longer, but you can actually see that God has made a way for you, but it starts when you begin to see yourself the way He sees you. Can I just declare over you today, you are the right father for your family. You are the right mother for your children. You are the right employee at your job. You are the right mind to create that business. You are the right person to be married to your spouse. You are the right team leader here at VOO Church. Come on. Do you believe it today? We can do this. We can do it. But it starts with us being able to see who we really are.
Absolutely. I think that if you're going to declare we can do this, it starts with having the right outlook. You want the right outcomes? Start getting the right outlook. And the first outlook you got to get is how you see yourself really matters. You're not a grasshopper. Come on. You're a child of God. He's called you and He's graced you for such a time as this. But it's not just how you see yourself. How about this? It's how you see your opposition. How you see your opposition really matters in this story. Look at what happens here in Numbers chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. I want you to see this, because for these 10 spies, they viewed their opposition in such a great way that they began to complain about it. They began to grumble about it. In fact, they turned the whole entire Israelite camp off of the land that God had chosen for them and actually got them to grumble against their leadership. Have you ever found yourself in life doing this? We love to talk about our problems. Have you noticed this? People love to talk about their problems. What's so funny is that why do we think complaining is going to change anything? Yeah. Have you noticed complaining doesn't change anything? If anything, it just makes it worse. Yeah. You ever gotten a mosquito bite before? Yeah. Dawn Shree's hilarious because if she gets a mosquito bite, even though I've been pastoring her for years, she still scratches her mosquito bites. Here's the thing. When you scratch a mosquito bite, all it does is make it worse. It gets bigger, it irritates the skin, and it itches even more. Can I tell you that some of you in this room, you've come against challenges and problems and opposition, and really all they were little tiny mosquito challenges. They were just mosquito bites. But you begin to scratch it, you begin to complain about it, and now you've irritated it, and you've made it much worse than it ever was to begin with. Come on, am I preaching to anybody today? How you see your opposition matters. Listen to me loud and clear. The report you spread is more important than the news you read. What's coming out of your mouth? Because some of you are talking yourself out of your miracle. God has given you the land. God has given you the promise. Yet you keep on talking so much that you're talking yourself out of victory. I don't want to be a person who talks myself out of victory. If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. Yeah. Your mom was right. Obey her. Some of you are 45 years old, still not obeying your mother. Listen, it was a mosquito bite challenge, but you just irritated it. You just talked about it, and you went and spread a bad report. I want to prophesy today. I'm telling you what, the report you spread is so much more important than the news you read. You might be up against some real obstacles, but you speak faith in the midst of fear, and you watch as God gives you a miracle. Come on, somebody. Give God a shout of praise in this place. You've got to learn how to speak faith when you feel fear. Many of us, we've got more faith in our opposition than we do our own God-given position. I remember when I first moved to Miami, I was 14 years of age, and I tried out for the football team, and I don't want to toot my own horn, I made JV. Not a big deal, God still used me. And I remember it was my first game, and man, I got out there on the field, and like I was this little Caucasian boy from Tacoma, Washington. And I got on this field, and this team that we were playing was like grown. I hadn't even hit puberty yet. You know what I'm talking about? I had like two armpit hairs. It was, you know. And like in my house, shut up was a curse word, okay? And so as we were running down the sideline, all these guys from the other team, they were using words that I didn't know what these words were. Praise God. It got me I was so timid. And so when the game started, I just played weak. I played afraid. I didn't believe that we could win. I remember our coach riling us together and said, "Hey guys, you're actually a better team. They might be bigger than you, but you're better than them." I'm so thankful for a team that stood up in courage, because would you believe we actually ended up beating that team? Yet I think a lot of us live life the way I played that game, which is intimidated. And we live fearful and we live scared because we've got the wrong view of our opposition. Listen to me. Opposition is an illusion. Your challenge is not in front of you. Your challenge is inside of you. And you got to get past yourself. There is nothing too big for our God. When an airplane takes off, it goes against the wind. Don't you think your life has a greater destination than any airplane? Don't you think if you're going to reach that destination, just like an airplane, you're going to have to go against some opposition? Why not get the right viewpoint against your opposition? Opposition is really an opportunity from God. You don't have to exaggerate your challenge. No. You know we do this, right? Like society, we do this. We make a bigger deal about our problem than we ever do the answer. And how many of you know that which you magnify gets bigger in your life? I'm starving. Not really. You're hungry. I'm freezing. You're not freezing. We live in Miami. I'm burning. Slightly true. You're hot. I'm dead. No, you're tired. See, we exaggerate our challenge. Here's an exaggeration. It might have been true that there were giants in the land, but how many know the scale is really off when you say those are giants and we're grasshoppers? No, you're not a grasshopper. You're a man of God. And it just so happens God is in the business of using men of God to take down giants. Come on. Is there anybody in this house today who believes you can overcome your opposition? I want our church to understand there's no such thing as a problem-free life. I think some of us, we come to Jesus and we think that means that's solving all of our problems. Not true. Jesus doesn't solve all of our problems. He walks with us through our problems. And as we go from glory to glory, from grace to grace, what you find out is that it's mountaintop to mountaintop. And to get to the next mountaintop, you got to climb again. And so if you love the mountaintop, guess what you have to fall in love with? Climbing. You got to fall in love with climbing, with fighting, with opposition. Whenever you have the wrong viewpoint against your opposition, what you'll find is you don't go forward, you go backwards. Look what happens in Numbers chapter 14. This is wild to me. Numbers 14 says this: that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children were taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in going backwards. I want to go forwards. Do you know what Egypt had for them? They were slaves in Egypt. Their wives were being raped every other day in Egypt. Their children were being offered up to false gods in Egypt. But how many of you know, you can take people out of Egypt, but you can't always take Egypt out of people. Yeah. And we declare we want to live free, but we don't realize that in order to live free, we have to face opposition. Yeah, come on. This doesn't make any sense to me. Don't you know that God took them out of Egypt? Don't you know that God led them through the Red Sea? Don't you know that God sent manna from heaven to feed them in the wilderness? He led them by a fire by night and a cloud by day. Come on. If God was faithful back then, why on earth are they going to start doubting him now when they got a few giants in front of them? Come on. The same God that parted the Red Sea will be the same God that takes down the giants in front of you. You need to know what God says about you. Your God does not call you a survivor, calls you an overcomer. Yeah. I'm not trying to survive in life. I'm trying to thrive in life. And the way that you thrive is when you realize you're an overcomer. Let me tell you about overcomers. They fail, but overcomers always try again. Come on, we can do this today. Come on. Overcomers, they fall down, but how many know? They always get back up. We can do this today. Come on, overcomers, we might lose the battle, but how many of you know because of Jesus Christ, we always win the war? Come on, we can do this. You're not a survivor. You are an overcomer. But honestly, your outlook is what's determining your outcome. And as we evaluate today, I'm hoping that you're seeing right, because there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be a new challenge. And you better view that opposition correctly. Quit scratching it. Quit talking about it. Why not talk about the one who is faithful to lead you right through your opposition? Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise today.
That's not just the way that you see yourself. It's not just the way that you see your opposition, but lastly today, it's the way that you see your God. And truly, the way that you see your God will dictate the way that you see yourself and will create the viewpoint that you have on your opposition. You know, today as we read this story, we get excited about it because this story is full of so much life. It is a crossroads for the children of Israel that they will never be the same again after this crossroads. And you know, I can't even imagine the climate of this conversation. Here it is, and all the children of Israel have decided that they actually want to go back to slavery, that they don't want to walk into the promise that God has prepared for them because they are paralyzed by fear. And these two young men, full of the boldness of the Spirit of God, stand up among all of the people of Israel. They stand up to their elders. They stand up to all the other spies. And they actually declare God's will over all of the people that are there listening. I want you to hear what they say. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 says this: Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, they tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." How many of you accept that word over your life, over the giants and the mountains and the impossibilities? Because it's for you. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor right now and say, "The Lord is with us." Come on, the Lord is with us. Here are the Israelite people, and they are at a crossroads. And you know, I love what Joshua says to them, because he says this. He says, "Don't rebel against the Lord." Don't rebel. What is he saying? Do you know that rebellion is choosing fear over faith? Wow. Rebellion is choosing to trust our emotions and our feelings over what God has spoken to us. And Joshua pleads with the children of Israel. He says, "Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't go back to your slavery. There's a promised land in front of us." How is Joshua and how are Caleb, these two young men, able to see what God had called them to step into despite their fear and despite what they saw in the natural? Well, I believe that first of all, they saw who they really were, that they were children of God, that God really had parted the Red Sea, that he really had delivered them, that he really had led them by a cloud by day, a fire by night. I also believe that he saw their opposition correctly, that God will always defeat the enemy because God is greater. That brings us to the third thing that I know that they knew. They knew the power of their God. They saw him for who he truly was, our soul provider, our soul protector, that everything we have comes from our God. And can I tell you that the strength of your life will not be simply based upon who you think that you are and declare you are, but on who you know your God is. Do you know him? Do you meditate on who he is, or do you allow that fear to turn your heart to rebellion time and time again, to run back to your chains, to run back to what feels comfortable, to run back to the land that you know? Or do you allow the God you know to dictate the path of purpose in front of you? He's bigger than we could ever dream. You know, you and I, we could sit here all day long and we could just talk about his goodness and we'd never run out of his characteristics, because his character is so vast. It's so flawless. It's so beautiful that we would continue just to be filled with awe and wonder of who he is. And even though we can't comprehend all that he is, God does reveal himself through his son Jesus, through the cross, through the sacrifice of love that has changed all of our lives. And when we look to the scriptures, we get a glimpse. I love David. David was just a shepherd boy in the Bible. If you read his story, he was taking care of sheep, but he had a heart after God, and God made him the king of all of Israel. And David would always meditate on the greatness of our God. Listen to the Message interpretation of Psalms 36. It says, "God's love is meteoric, his loyalty astronomic, his purpose titanic, his verdicts oceanic, yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks." You may feel overwhelmed with life. You may feel intimidated by what God has placed in front of you. But if you will remind yourself of who the God is that you serve, it will give you the strength not to speak your fear or your criticism or your worry, but to declare, just like Joshua and Caleb, "The Lord is with us." See, the truth is if you keep reading the story, it's unbelievable, because they were so angry at Joshua and Caleb that they actually wanted to kill them. These two men who actually were speaking faith in their God, and all the children of Israel wanted to stone them. And these 10 other spies chose fear. And you know, as the climate of the conversation is rising, and they want to kill Caleb and Joshua, and Joshua and Caleb stand and say, "The Lord is with us." Then you read on, and God actually protects Joshua and Caleb. It says the glory of God appeared, begins to speak to Moses. And you know what God says to Moses? He says, "Every one of the people who saw my signs of wonder and who saw my glory, even back in Egypt and now in the wilderness, and chose not to trust me, they will not enter into the land that I promised." Wow. They will not enter into the land that I promised. But he says, but Caleb and Joshua, he says, Caleb has a different spirit. He says, Caleb trusts me and follows me wholeheartedly, and he will enter into the promised land. Can you imagine these men? They had left Egypt and they were following God, but because of their fear and because of their doubt, it actually prohibited them from ever seeing the promise of God. Your outlook truly does dictate your outcome. What are you seeing today? What are you speaking today? Because their criticism and their fear and their knowing that they had the best plan, it stopped them from walking into what God had for them. These 10 spies, they were rejected by God. They were chosen by God. God chose 12 men to go and see what he saw. But only 2 actually saw what he saw. 2 chose to believe despite what they saw in the natural. 2 chose to speak what they saw supernaturally because of the God that they served. And Caleb and Joshua, they had a different spirit. May it be said of VU Church that we have a different spirit. That we don't go with the status quo. That we don't go with the majority. That we don't just speak about the darkness of our city. But that we raise up a banner. That we lift up a standard. That we say the Lord is with us in our families. The Lord is with us in our marriage. The Lord is with us. Come on. If you believe it today, let's lift our hands up. Let's sing to God. Let's declare his love in this house today. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at VUChurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.